This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Thursday. Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Money Moves live on VSiN, the sports betting network. But you may notice, got a little change of scenery here today, live from Rocco's Pizza and Cantina in Omaha, getting set for the College World Series. Game's getting underway tomorrow, but JVT, people are already here in town, ready to go. Stadium behind us. It's going to be an awesome weekend.
So we've already seen, Coastal Carolina, right? Am I correct?
Yes.
We're the first Jello Shots purchased of the day. Very adamant, the staff here at Rocco's, you can't really buy them until the deadline, till it's supposed to be. So we saw them come in here, early edge for the Ashants. And very much looking forward to adding to what will, I would assume, be an LSU lead at some point.
Yes, and we are LSU supporters in the Jello Shot Challenge because we want to see a record be broken. Although, from what I have gathered, Arkansas is trying to come in here and prove a point themselves. These SEC teams, they know how to throw them back, from what I gathered.
Yes, so this is my kind of vibe. Like, I like this.
Yes.
Not even so much the drinking as it is just a lot of people out here for one singular purpose, to have a good time, to watch sports. I'm very much looking forward to something which is, kind of like a cult. Like a cult event where you want to come out and experience for the first time. So this has been great so far. We've only been here for not even 24 hours.
Yes, the Jello Shot Challenge has taken on like a life of its own over the course of the last 5 years. The record from LSU, over 68,000 Jello Shots purchased.
68,888.
Yes, they
have it
on
hanging
the wall.
Up in the wall right here.
They've got plaques. This place is awesome. It's just going to fill out throughout the course of the day. Tomorrow when we're on the air, I know it's going to be that much busier with those first games that we're kind of leading up to while we're on. It's going to be great, and really appreciate the owner, Kevin Colgett, Pat, who handles the leaderboard, all the hospitality that they've given us already to be set up here, and it's just going to be a great weekend, which leads me to set up for the show, everything we have on deck today. Let's set the table like we always do. Producer Brian Ortega, hit us up with the rundown.
It's time for the top headlines and topics of the day. This is the rundown.
So naturally, JVT, with us being here in Omaha, we're going to talk some college baseball today. Matt Grissom, College Insiders, college baseball analyst, he's going to join us live from here at Rocco's, give us the breakdown on some of his best bets. He did a great job on the College Baseball, College World Series guide and kind of how to approach all these games, and from a future standpoint as well, what he's got going on.
Yeah, what I'm interested in is, when we were just kind of talking about this right before we came on the air, the change in the ballpark, playing on this neutral site, what the weather does for you in terms of the scoring, how that's going to impact what's going to happen out here. And these are, the super regionals, all at different sites, all in different environments. Now all of them are playing in one arena, and so I'm going to be interested to see how that affects these games from a scoring standpoint. Should be a fun conversation.
And even just from a crowd standpoint, too, some of these teams that play in smaller buildings, you're getting 26,000 a session out here at Charles Schwab Field. In addition to Matt Grissom, Derek Stevens, owner and CEO of Circa Resort and Casino, Circa Sports, they're doing a lot of fun stuff out here, getting people to download the app, driving over to the Iowa border. We're going to get the lowdown on all of that. Matt is coming up in 30 minutes. Derek at 10 o'clock Pacific, 1 o'clock Eastern. And then we're going to get some Stanley Cup final talk in as well, because we got Game 4 coming up tonight from Sunrise. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN senior NHL writer, he's going to stop by 10:30 Pacific, 1:30 Eastern, and break down his thoughts and angles. And what I love about Greg is he really does respect the betting side of it. Yeah. He is always locked in on Conn Smythe odds and where the money is moving. He very much so cares about that side of it.
I'm excited. Hopefully it's more entertaining than Game 3. What has kind of, I think, at least from my perspective, dominated the conversation a little bit was your little thing on the ice, right? Your tidbit about the ice has actually started to grow here in terms of that impact and what that made for Game 3, how we're going to spin this forward for Game 4, and if the Oilers can shake off what I thought was a very mentally soft game for them by their standards and come back in and actually try to win the hockey game, as opposed to just start to throw punches because you're mad.
6-1 loss in Game 3 looked demoralizing. Will they let that carry into Game 4, or can they flush it, move on, and get their stars to be their stars? Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl both left off the score sheet in that game. Florida tonight, -148 home favorites. And last but certainly not least, not to bury the lead.
Of course.
But here we go. Pacers do it again. taking game three and a 2-1 lead in the NBA Finals over Oklahoma City. 116-107, your final score there. This, by the way, for Indiana, after trailing by five entering the fourth quarter, they outscore the Thunder 32-18 in the fourth to win this thing again. And it's just more fourth quarter magic for the Indiana Pacers.
I mean, it's more fourth quarter magic for the Pacers. It's more road struggles for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so funny when you look at this postseason as a whole. Everything's easy. It's bet the teams when they come off the straight-up losses. Fade these teams that struggle on the road. This has been very surprising to see the way that this has gone to the extent. But, again, we've talked about this post-loss in Game 1. The Pacers deserve credit for the way that they're playing. Yesterday, they were the deeper team. The bench production, Benedict Mathurin coming off the bench, giving them over 20 points, getting really good minutes from guys like Obi Toppin, Ben Shepherd, and others. Meanwhile, the bench for the Thunder, a complete no-show. And again, just this offense completely disappearing away from home. We've been beating it over the head, but it's worth reiterating one more time. They are now 4-4 straight up on the road. Mm-hmm. They still now have yet to cover a point spread. They're 0-8 ATS away from home. And you don't have home court advantage. So at some point, you're going to have to get over this if you're going to achieve what many of us believed. But the Thunder have made, or excuse me, the Pacers have made, people like me look like a fool. Thought the Thunder could win this thing at five. That's obviously now officially out the window. It's funny. I did bet the series to end in five games. So now do I start rooting for Indiana? But I do think that Indiana, they've been brilliant. Halliburton was great again. But it is incredible to see this team in the Thunder consistently struggle in the same areas over and over and over again. And here they are again yesterday with a very poor effort on the road, especially on offense.
And yet, we still see the Oklahoma City Thunder as favorites in the series.
Yeah.
And so how do you approach this from a betting standpoint, and how genuinely do you see it? Because I don't know many people, even Pacers fans, that had coming out of three games, Indiana being up 2-1.
Sure.
Now that we're in this position, how does it play out from here?
I mean, well, here's the thing, and this is where I feel conflicted, right? Which is I'll say this right away, just like we said for game two. There's no way you should lay 11 with the Oklahoma City Thunder, 11.5 in game two, just because they lost game one. But they went out and covered that game. And I will say that again here. We've seen nothing in terms of points of evidence that would make you think that this is where this number should be. Six on the road would roughly translate to 12 back in Oklahoma City. Like, this is, we were talking about this last night here, which is these teams just get upgraded off of these losses. And yet, when you look at some of the results and what we have seen here, our wonderful Dave Tooley at View from Vegas have been keeping track of this the entire postseason. The teams that have lost straight up are 42-22-1 ATS in the next game. You are hitting at a 65.6% clip if you're just playing these teams off of straight-up losses. So this is where my conflict is. I wouldn't do it. I can't do it. But if you've been like me and you're like, you can't upgrade a team, well, guess what? You're getting your face kicked in if you're absolutely doing that. So I'm really stunned at like what you're supposed to do in this spot. Nothing you've seen from Oklahoma City says they deserve to be a 6-point favorite here on the road. But the zigzag would tell you that that's the play.
6-point favorite, total 225.5. As far as the series goes, even down 2-1 right now, they're still -220 on that price. The Indiana Pacers +185. And I think this goes back to that day last week when we were talking about what is the road for the Indiana Pacers to come out on top of this thing. And one of the big parts of it that we talked about was clutch. They are 9-1 now in clutch time games. They're 10-1 in games that are decided by single digits. They've had the second best record in basketball, second only to OKC since January. They have a great coach. Rick Carlisle's done a masterful job of making adjustments. And then you have a night like last night where the bench comes through in a massive way. So you have your depth at home with Benedict Mathurin, as you referenced, massive day. And your star in Tyrese Halliburton does more than just the assist game, although double digits there, but it's the assist and the scoring potential that he brought yesterday, which we did go over our points prop 17.5 on that one. But for him, I think that's got to be so important for Indiana. If they're going to win, he's got to be able to produce at that level more.
And the other thing that was very the not silent killer, I suppose, but a very big killer for OKC yesterday. For a team that likes to turn opponents over, they turned the ball over quite a bit. And when you look at especially T.J. McConnell had a great sequence at one point in the game where they score, then he steals an inbound, then they scored again. And that's really where the game started to turn around for Indiana. McConnell yesterday had five steals. Like, this is – there was such a good effort from tip to tail for this team in terms of the roster. Everybody around. We haven't even mentioned Pascal Siakam, who had 21 points right behind Tyrese Halliburton. So I've been, obviously, you have to be, wildly impressed with what Indiana has been able to pull off here. This team looks deep. And we should note the other actually important thing here. They played their game in terms of tempo and pace and everything like that. They got out and ran. That was the important part. They had absolutely nothing in transition to the first two games. Offensive rating last night off of live rebounds, 162.5 for Indiana. It's exactly what they want.
Tyrese Halliburton spoke after the game to media about how they keep getting it done late.
Yeah, I mean, the conversation was like, we got to wake up. You know, I think that was the biggest thing. We had a couple bad turnovers there. You know, we were playing a little antsy probably is the right word. But I thought we just did a great job of responding. Like, it's the NBA. 10 points is nothing. 20 points is nothing. You know, no lead is safe. So you just got to put your head down and just one play at a time. That's what it is. One play, one quarter, whatever the case is. Try to, you know, look at it in increments that way, you know, so you can stick with it. So, you know, we didn't start the game the way we wanted to. I thought our first quarter was poor, but our second unit did a great job of giving us energy to start that second quarter, and we just rode that wave.
For the series, the Thunder have won the first three quarters, but the Pacers are plus 27 in the fourth.
Yeah. Look, we can talk about sustainability and all these sort of things. Sometimes you just have it, and this Pacers team has it. The ability to perform in the clutch, the ability to not be bothered by that moment, the ability, those like they're talking about, knowing no lead is safe, always just kind of cracking away and just, hey, just keep going. And we're seeing it play out. And that guy there still, despite the fact they're up 2-1 with home court advantage, plus 270 to win NBA Finals MVP. Siakam's 11-1, but just speaks to like the market at some point. I'm stubborn. We've talked about stubbornness before. Sometimes it works out for you. This case, you got to move off of your priors here at some point because the Thunder seem to be a very overvalued team. Matt Humans has been all over it over on VSiN Primetime, and that has been the case. If you've been riding it, you've been in a good position.
Worth noting, winners of Game 3 in a series tied at 1 in the NBA Finals, 33-8. They go on to win the Finals 80% of the time. Can the Pacers close this thing out against a team that's been the best in the NBA all year long? We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, live from Rocco's, we're going to have Matt Grissom helping us break down all things College World Series from Omaha. Doesn't get better than this.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Live from Rocco's Pizza and Cantina in Omaha, Nebraska. But just because we're on the road doesn't mean that you should stop going to the website, VSiN.com. Check it out now. Get in for as little as $9.99 for your first month to get everything we have to offer, including the exclusive betting splits. You get them from Circa. You get them from DraftKings. You can use it as part of your handicap every single day. Get started now. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe and check it out.
Back here in Omaha, talking some college baseball. Matt Grissom joining us live in studio. College baseball insiders, college baseball betting analysts. Did so much great work as you're pumping up the website and all the stuff we have there. The college baseball betting guide helping get us set up. What's going on, Matt?
Just enjoying the day. Tomorrow, the madness ensues. So today is just very chill. A lot of teams open practice right now, and then we'll be going full blast.
It's the calm before the storm.
Yep.
How are you feeling? Is this like Christmas for you?
It is. So last year was my first year out, and obviously I'm a Razorback fan at heart. Q, my co-host here, he said, go out, get the lay of the land. It's almost better if you don't have your team there. And so came out, had a great time. Back this year, Arkansas is a short shot to win it. What's the worst that could happen, right? 0-2?
Yep.
But we're out here.
All right, really quick for our audience, I will emphasize, go check out the guide. It's absolutely fantastic. The website is great as well, by the way. Very easy to navigate, very easy to use, too. So use it as part of the handicapping process now that we are here. So I'll start with your boys, then. The rightful favorite, are they priced accurately? What do you think of their status in the market?
I think so. So we had Derek on before we all came out here, and at that time, LSU was the short shot because he had taken a big no bet on Arkansas, I think 27,500. But now I think it's ticked back up to where Arkansas is a short shot at Circa. The winner of game five, or the winner of the first game against Arkansas LSU, I feel like that's going to decide a lot But I like the loser to come out of that, especially if it is Arkansas. So you look back, Arkansas-LSU played in a series, Zach Root versus Cade Anderson, LSU won in 10 innings, 5-4. Second game, we don't want to talk about that, Anthony Eisenson, right-handed pitcher. That's what Arkansas kind of struggles against. He carved us up, and they ended up run ruling us, and then Arkansas took game three. So I wouldn't be surprised if Jay Johnson goes Anthony Eisenson just because of that righty. But after Eisenson and Anderson for LSU, they really don't have a solidified game three starter, whereas Arkansas has four or five guys you could trot out there that have had meaningful starts throughout the season. That would get you in a position to be able to come back from the loser's bracket.
I know we've had in the NCAA tournaments like second most home runs ever that we've seen. This is a park that does play more of a pitcher's park. Is this a situation, to your point about Arkansas's pitching, like more of pitching beats good hitting when we get to the College World Series?
Yes. So if you look back at the last 3 years, really, Arkansas has had a great pitching staff, and Dave Van Horn knows how crucial that is once you get to Omaha. Now, the problem is they couldn't get to Omaha because they couldn't hit. This year they've got a really good mix of both. They're one in Sierra. They're one in weighted runs created. So I think just having that balance, I mean, we saw it last year with A&M and Tennessee. Both had really good pitching staffs, but they could also hit the long ball, and they didn't really have a problem playing in the big park either. So I think you truly have to be able to do both.
Okay. How does the impact scoring here, like playing in this park for all of these teams?
Most of the time it's wind.
Yeah.
If the wind's blowing out, that extra 15 feet shouldn't be a problem for these guys to hit it out.
Matt Gressum, collegebaseballinsiders.com, joining us again. Check out the full breakdown and guide that's available on VSiN.com for our VSiN Pro subscribers. If you didn't have a bet, aside, like if you want to look a little bit down the board, is there any one of these underdog teams that you think could be worth a wager, especially considering all the upsets that we've had in the regionals and super regionals?
Yeah, I think bracket one is wide open. I think Oregon State, Coastal Carolina, either of those two would be a good buy right now. And you can always hedge that out, right? It's 6-1 or 6.5-1 on Coastal and Oregon State. Assuming one of them gets there, and then say it's Arkansas or LSU, you're going to have an opportunity to bet, especially looking at the odds. I think Coastal is, what, minus 230 in their opening game, and,
yep.
And Oregon State's, what, minus 160?
They actually both have been bet up. I was going to say Coastal's up to minus 250 at multiple spots, and, Oregon State right now minus 180. Actually,
so,
in some sport offshores, they're minus 195.
Yeah, so they announced that Dax Whitney was going to go, and then I think it's Patrick Forbes for Louisville. Mm. So you've got ace on ace, Dax Whitney, really good freshman. I wouldn't be surprised if Oregon State wins that one and then Coastal takes care of Arizona. But, I mean, bracket one is – this is a crazy field we've got. I mean, these are not the teams that we thought would be here.
Right.
And people on Twitter are letting me know. You know, I'm supposed to be the expert. I follow it all season long, and now I look like an idiot. But two out of eight.
That's us in the NBA Finals.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, two out of eight isn't bad. Yeah. Obviously, couldn't do anything about Arkansas-Tennessee playing against each other. But I think Arkansas, LSU, Tennessee are the top three teams. Unfortunately, they were either against each other in a super regional or now in the same bracket. But it's good for the parity of college baseball because, you know, in a season where a four seed makes it, I think for the fourth time ever, it's just a wide-open field. Everybody's got a storyline they can root for.
Well, one of them is Murray State. A lot of people like them. We're starting to see the market move in their direction. Some spots were minus 270. Now we're like minus 250 in favor of UCLA. Is this real? Is this legit? Can they be live tomorrow?
I mean,
they
went through Ole Miss with really no issues. Duke was probably the better team, but they didn't play like it. I think right now it's more of an evident that there's not really a clear-cut favorite. And – you can say Arkansas or LSU at the top for short shot odds, but there's a lot of parity in college baseball, especially this year. And who knows? It's all about who's hot at the right time. I think Coastal Carolina is, what, 24-0 in their last. You talk about not wanting to back a team that is on a hot streak. There's a lot of people that believe in the Chanticleers. There's a lot of people that believe in Murray State. I mean, there's not anybody better in the country playing baseball right now.
As you went through those lines for game ones tomorrow and on Friday and on Saturday, excuse me. Did you bet anything? Was there anything that stood out to you?
The first thing I bet was Oregon State -160. I took Arizona +175 before I left town. So I'm a believer in just bet the number. I think Arizona is undervalued at +175. I think this is a little closer of a game. Coastal may win, but I'll take +175.
Plus, so, the 1.5 runs even is even money, too, if you wanted to go that angle.
Yeah, and that's another thing, too, is typically I don't like betting the run line, but when you get to Omaha and it's a tighter game, every pitch matters, every hit, every walk, it you get those tight games where I think the 1.5 is a decent bet. So I'd be looking at that, too. Okay.
So generally in all these sports, as we get further along, the market should theoretically get tighter, right, and more accurate. Yep. But this is not a market that is bet on a ton. So when you get to this point, how accurately lined do you find these lines?
I really kill it through the regular season, sure. And then I kind of start leveling out in the postseason. Mm-hmm. So I think it is. They're sharper. But there's still several opportunities to find some mispriced things. For LSU to be – -110, Arkansas -120. If it ends up being Einsen, we'll hit that LSU number real quick.
So we were talking a lot earlier when we were on a numbers game about kind of the environment of the College World Series and how LSU, we know when they're here, they take over. They show up even when their team isn't in the College World Series. But then with Arkansas back out here as well, a lot of the talk is, well, just wait until we get out here and everybody's calling the hogs and going crazy. How many, like, Arkansas fans do you think are going to be here this weekend?
Oh, I think – I've heard that – I think Lou Finicaro said 80% LSU fans. I think he is sadly mistaken. I think
okay,
it's probably going to be
need.
50% LSU, 40% Arkansas, and then 10% everybody else.
Wow, so nobody else, huh? These two?
This is bomb north, yeah. Okay? This is Dave Van Horn's 10th year in Omaha as a head coach. Everybody's going to travel well. It's a six-hour drive. So I think Arkansas is going to take over. They're going to show up.
How many jello shots for you?
None yet. But
none yet. You
know, we need to set a number on the jello shots and how many times he's going to call the hogs.
Yeah.
Like, those are numbers we need.
Yeah, if you put all of us at College Baseball Insiders together, I think we would take over Derek for the short shot to win that jello shot.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We got to include you as part of the field.
Yeah, you're in the field.
The field is slowly becoming the favorite, I think, that the field is going to be the favorite.
Always been the favorite.
Yeah.
Because, Derek, in addition to the jello shots, there's also other beverages here as well,
which
are taking up some of the space.
Took up some of my space yesterday, that's for sure.
Well, they're not very potent, so you can handle a dozen of them pretty easy.
Yeah. I don't want to test that. I mean, I will test that theory, but I don't really want to readily test it.
Maybe on the last day.
Yeah. I was going to say, we're on air tomorrow, but not on Saturday. So tomorrow, the last block of our show, I feel like, is when we're really going to get it started. We're going to do some sort of a shot or bet situation. I think it's going to be good. Yeah. Matt, thank you so much. Enjoy
Let
the
it
weekend.
Fly.
It's going to be awesome.
All right. Thank you all for having me.
Good Matt Grissom, everybody. CollegeBaseballInsiders.com. Again, go to vsin.com/subscribe if you want the full breakdown. Still actionable information in there before games get underway tomorrow. We'll be right back live from Rocco's Pizza and Cantina in Omaha after this.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
More people already starting to file in here at Rocco's Pizza and Cantina in Omaha, Nebraska, home of the College World Series. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. You're bopping your head. Feeling good.
Just it. I'm ready.
It's
ready to
happening.
Go. Yep. All right. We'll have one after the show.
I think we have to.
Yeah.
We're already tied at one because even though we weren't allowed to put our count toward a team last night, we were able to get ahead of the game and compliments of wonderful owner Kevin for being kind to us. We got a taste last night.
Yes, we did. There was a collective jello shot taking by everybody. So everybody is sitting at one in the VSiN jello shot challenge.
Yes.
Many people
lots of odds movement.
Yeah, there are. And many people are taking offense to, the perception of how they are as drinkers. So a lot of big words being thrown around by a lot of people. I am very curious to see who will back it up.
I was excited that my odds have seen a little bit of movement here, down from 12-1 to +825. So we're making an adjustment based on some of the Twitter comments, which, by the way, you want to join in any of our conversation today, as always, tweet at us at VSIN Live, at Storm Bonantoni, at me, JVT. Remember as well, if you missed any of the show today, especially we had a great breakdown last segment with Matt Grissom on his thought process ahead of the early games in the College World Series and big picture on the futures board. Always available in podcast form, Money Moves, wherever you download your podcast. Do want to give a quick U.S. Open update as well, because this thing is playing very interesting depending on your player, because J.J. Spahn is out here 4-under for the day, and he has consistently been in the lead, but up and down days all over the place.
Yeah, so for the most part, as we're looking at the way we thought this was going to start easy, and it did for some of these guys, but it has definitely slowed down a bit. J.J. Spahn started on the back nine, and since his birdie on what would have been his eighth hole, 17, he has slowed down. He has parred out the rest of his own back nine, including a very clutch putt to maintain on a par. So he is still sitting at 4-under. He is through 17 on his final hole for the day. Again, though, he started on the back nine, so he's going to be at hole nine for his final one here. Other scores worth updating here. Thomas Detry is at 2-under. He is through 13. And then you have a glut of golfers who are at 1-under, even, and 1-over. So we're starting to see some more guys on the course. We still have plenty of golfers that have yet to even tee off. So this thing is going to develop, obviously, as this goes along. But this has been, I think, pretty interesting to watch. Yeah. We saw the early start, and then we saw some of these guys. We've already seen some pretty good golf. You and I watched Rory save himself. I don't know what hole that was, but he ends up in the very long rough. He had a par shot from the fairway, and he still sinks a 30-foot putt for bogey to save his life there. So we've seen some really good golf so far.
You have that. Shane Lowry, who obviously I have a lot invested in, not a good start for him, but even being 6-over for the day, still had that incredible eagle shot on the par 4 third hole of the day, just unbelievable to watch, and even he was like, what just happened? So one of Ben Griffin, at least somebody in my portfolio, is doing well, 1-under in T3 so far, and we'll continue to keep tabs on this throughout the course of the show and obviously tomorrow as we lead into the weekend as well.
Should note the next notable names that are going to be teeing off.
Yeah, here. Scheffler hasn't even started yet.
Yes, he has not started yet. 12:03 for us out here. In what are we in Central Time now? Mm-hmm. So that's 10 o'clock, 10:03, and then 1:03 for those in the different time zones that we generally use. Justin Thomas, Russell Henley, and Brooks Koepka will all tee off at that time. So you'll have a few guys out there. Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, Jon Rahm will tee off at about 10 minutes later. And then you mentioned Scotty. That'll be 12:25 p.m. Central. So what is that? 1:25 p.m. Eastern time. I got it right.
Nailed it. Yep. Look at those time changes. Scotty Scheffler, by the way, despite not having started yet, his odds are lower coming into today than they were yesterday, from +275 to +260. So keep tabs on all that. Reminder, everybody, Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring any and all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. You get cash back rewards, 100%. Approval for all betting deposits, and when you sign up today at edgeboost.bet with our promo code for this show, money, deposit $25, EdgeBoost is going to match that deposit for you. Again, check it out at edgeboost.bet. That's edgeboost.bet. Let's shift gears to the Stanley Cup Final. We do have game four getting set to go underway tonight in Sunrise. Florida up 2-1 so far in the set after what was a dominant 6-1 win in game three. The Cup champ slightly confident after putting on what was an absolute masterclass, and I would say physicality and, most importantly, agitation for what they were able to do.
I mean, to me, that's the story, is how Edmonton bounces back from that mental standpoint. When you, I get it's part of hockey, but if at the end of the game you're just sending like guys out to go and get into fights because you're so mad that you're losing the way that you are, I don't think it's really great for you from a mental standpoint to then to continue to maintain the series. And the market has definitely turned on Edmonton a little bit here. Yeah. I mean, look at this. Florida's near a $1.50 favorite for this game. Remember in game two, we closed with Florida as a slight favorite over at Circa. It was -107. That was despite the fact that before the series began, it was Edmonton who was garnering support on the series line. And yet here we are. Seems market is telling us now as we head into game four that Florida is clearly the better team. We'll see if that's the case. Maybe it's just a home ice advantage type deal that is playing out in the market right now. But either way, Florida's getting the support. And after that last game, it is hard not to like what they were doing to this team. And again, it's unfair, but they could argue they should be up 3-0 at this point right now, given the way that they blew game one. So we'll see if Edmonton can bounce back. But you can't feel great if you're Edmonton with the way the series has slowly gone over the last, I would say, two games in an overtime period, although they did dominate.
It was kind of like midway from game two on, Florida has looked like the better team. Again, minus 148, the price for them on home ice tonight. The goal total set at 6.5, which it needs to be the way these games continue to go over. And I'll give you some of those numbers. Three games so far, three overs, all of them with 7-plus goals. Three goal in the first 10 props have cashed. All three first period overs as well. And this is one of those things, too, where when the prices dictate that trend as well. Goal in the first 10, that is 8-2, actually, the last 10 games between these two teams. Minus 160 today. First period over, minus 140. Goal in the first 5, which we've seen a lot, too, plus 170. So maybe if you're looking for a little plus money angle on the early scoring, that could be an angle. But here's the thing. I cannot bet the total in this game, no matter how much we've seen it continue to happen, because of the whole conversation point that we had earlier this week as well, just about the quality of the ice and how that makes things look for the Edmonton Oilers. Typically, historically, when teams are playing that style of game on bad ice, you see like lower scoring games. It's like a 4-2 or a 3-1 or a 2-1, that type of a game. We haven't gotten that. And Rachel Dory was on VSiN by the Books with Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis earlier this morning, and she had a really good breakdown of the how and why Florida's ice is an issue. Take a listen.
The humidity in Florida that day in Sunrise was so high that basically what they had to do was they had to pump so much cold air into the building. So if you noticed on the close-up, I believe it was when Bennett scored the breakaway goal, when he made that cut away from the net, usually what you'd see on a cut like that is snow coming up. You saw actual chunks of ice coming up. And what that means is it's too hot outside and too cold inside. So they pumped too much cold air into the building. It made it too cold for the ice, and the ice got brittle. And when the ice gets brittle, it really is a detriment to things like passing the puck, things like getting clean shots off. So there's your Dreisaitl answer. Yes, Florida was very good defensively, but they played the ice to a T in the sense that they knew that Dreisaitl wasn't going to be able to really drag it into a shooting spot that he likes.
And Rachel, uniquely qualified to talk about the NHL ice. She said her fiance used to be the head ice tech in the National Hockey League. Yeah. So there you go there. But that's the thing, right? And again, speed up the neutral zone for a fast guy like Connor McDavid. When you're trying to handle the puck, when you're trying to get a clean pass, you're going to see that puck bouncing around a lot more. And it was, and it really did impact Edmonton. I just don't know what that looks like from a full game standpoint. Florida was masterful on home ice in game three.
I mean, market's betting it under. Yeah. It's 6.5 under, minus 135.
And that was my lean in game three, and then we still get over there.
I mean, right process, wrong result. Back the process again. I believe you were right. Look, it affected Edmonton. So the other way you could do this is you could look at a team total for Edmonton under as well. Mm-hmm. If you really think, if part of the handicap really is that this is going to affect Edmonton more than it's going to affect Florida, because Florida, of course, being a team that prefers to play at home and the home ice being something that they're used to playing with, if that's really something impactful, that maybe this gets Edmonton again and that you're going to bet their team total under for today. And maybe that's how you handle it as opposed to a game over. But that is going to be very impactful. And also, we can hit on this more, but obviously goaltending. We got to talk about our boy Skinner and the fact that for four games now, he has been playing subpar. And I say four. The last game of the Dallas series, he was not good. And then now here you are, having gotten your rear end whooped in three straight games against Florida, and how that's going to impact you as you move forward into the series. Is it official yet, by the way?
Yes, it is. Yes, okay. As of morning skate, he is going to be the guy for game four. There are a few lineup changes, though, of note for the Edmonton Oilers. Jeff Skinner is coming in for Victor Arvidsson. Defenseman Troy Stetcher in for John Klingberg. And based on morning skate as well, Connor Brown slated to be the right wing on Edmonton's top line, with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins at left and Connor McDavid on right. So a few things that they're trying to change up, see if they can get a little bit of a rhythm. But Stuart Skinner, as you referenced, has not been good so far. But Mr. Game 4, you're going to hear this stat a lot on a lot of shows today. 6-0, 1.26 goals against average, .970 save percentage, and 2 shutouts in Game 4's, his last 6 in the postseason. We got to take a timeout. Plenty more action ahead here on Money Moves from Omaha coming up next. Is that something you might be interested in? Producer Brian Ortega's got some fun potential prop bets that may or may not sway our interest tonight.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Betting on sports, you're listening to us. We know you are, so why not the races? First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races each and every day from top tracks across the U.S. and around the world. You can sign up at firstbet.com. It's the number one, stbet.com, and use our promo code VSIN200. That'll help you claim a 20% rebate your first 60 days up to $200. Check it out at firstbet.com today.
What if I told you I have a bet nobody's thought of yet? Is that something you'd be interested in?
Oh, that voice just never gets old to me. Okay, producer Brian Ortega is playing salesman with us for this segment. He has a few potential bets he wants to see if he can sway our interest. Are you ready, JVC?
Sure, I'm ready.
All right, we're going to start in your wheelhouse with the NBA.
That's it. Brian, the way this series is going.
Brian says, I know you're set on the Thunder to win the series, but could he interest you in a Pacers plus 190 ticket to finish this thing out and win an NBA title? Is that something you might be interested in?
No, Thunder are going to win four straight. No. I mean, I think in theory there is some value here. Again, it has been proven that the Thunder are a little overvalued in the series, a little, a lot, whatever. Like, the price has been too high on them. And if we're still pricing in the disagree, then I think there is value in betting that price alone. So, yes, in like a vacuum, sure. But the selfish part of me is, why would you want to now when you could have done it before the series? We had such a better number when you're talking about the actual payout. But I think there's actual value in that number considering the way the Thunder have played? I would say yes, especially with the way the OKC Thunder have played on the road. And they do not have home court advantage anymore. They got to take one of these games back. Maybe they'll do it tomorrow. But yes, I would be, in theory, I'd be down with that.
It's funny to me, like, the Pacers haven't played the best games, but they've always had the most fight. And the way they elevate their game in the fourth quarter, those clutch numbers being 9-1 in clutch time so far in this postseason. I totally agree with you. Being up 2-1, you can't anymore say that they don't belong or any of those different things, right? You just can't, because they're proving us otherwise. Winners of game 3, tied the series 1, go on to win 80% of the time. So sure, I could be interested in it. Am I betting it? That's going to be a no for me, dog. But I mean, Indiana, what they've been doing has been awesome. Possible bet number 2. Stars show up in the playoffs, but we're going to the NHL this time around, ladies and gentlemen. And Brian says he thinks Connor McDavid to have over 3.5 shots on goal tonight against the Panthers is a must bet. Is that something you might be interested in? Plus 105. I'm surprised you're getting that. I say yes.
Really?
Yes. Okay, so game one he had 4. Game 2 he had 7. Yes, he was held to 2 this past game, but you have to anticipate your best player being put in this situation, potential to go down 3-1, is going to be firing and do everything he can to put the team on his back so that they don't go back in full desperation mode and be down 3-1. I like that a lot. At plus money?
All right. I would acquiesce to you there. I would say I'm going to be curious to see again how this ice impacts him, whether or not there was ice or what Florida was doing to both him and Draisaitl that made them so quiet and ineffective in game 3, if they've discovered maybe a little bit of something here. But to your overall point, this is not a must-win, but it's as close as a must-win as possible. If you're going to be down 3-1 in the series, that's a very hard thing to come out of, especially if you're having this much trouble in the road environment. So you'd want to go down with your best guy swinging.
I think
it makes sense that he would try.
I think so, too. That said, he has been a facilitator, not a scorer so far in this series.
Yep.
5 points, all of them assists. Pretty shocking that he hasn't had a goal to this point yet. Give you a little stat here, though. McDavid and Draisaitl, who were both held off the score sheet last game, on a 1.83 and 1.50 points per game average, respectively, following a loss in the playoffs. So when they lose, they come back. Absolutely. Okay, possible bet numero tres. With 2 of the 3 games already going to overtime in the Stanley Cup Final and the last game being a blowout, Brian says he thinks this game is going to be very closely contested. Thinks it goes to overtime. Is that something you might be interested in at plus 280 in game 4?
I don't know. I don't really think so.
You just think Florida's going to blow them out again. I already know where your mind is at. You think Edmonton's dead in the water. You don't want anything to do with them anymore. It's going to be a puck line win for the Florida Panthers.
But I think like 4-2. Is that like, you know what I mean? That's a fair score. I don't think they're going to smoke him again like they did. But I do think that they're the advantage with the ice, the fact that they have gotten to this guy's heads, like all of these things. And like we've talked about, like, I like this Florida team defensively. They know what their ice is doing. They're so physical. They're going to get to these guys, I think, again. I don't think they're going to hold drive. Did I say that on one shot or whatever it was?
He didn't have a single shot attempt.
That's what it was. Not a single shot attempt. Right. Not a shot of goal, not a shot attempt. It's like, I think they're going to be able to get in these guys' jerseys again and be able to play physical with them. And I think it leads to a win, but like, it's such an anomaly, not such an anomaly. It is an odd, though, anomaly that we got those first two games to go to overtime the way that they did, and then another double overtime. I do think there is like maybe a slight gap emerging between Florida and Edmonton, obviously in favor of Florida. So I think it lends itself to I'll call it a somewhat comfortable victory for Florida tonight. 4-2. That's fair.
I didn't bet it, but I like the Oilers.
It's 3-2 the whole way. They get an empty netter.
I think we get a bounce back, and Game 4 Skinner is going to show up,
baby. 4-2 would be a bounce back from, what was the final score?
You're the worst. You're the worst.
6-1.
6-1. It's very sad. It's a tough time. They're coming out of it on top. I can feel it. Okay. We are in here in Omaha right now for the College World Series. For anybody who missed it, we are broadcasting live from Rocco's Pizza and Cantina just outside of the ballpark. Charles Schwab Field is literally right there. So we're getting into a little baseball talk. We had Matt Grissom on the show a little bit earlier. Brian says he thinks Murray State is going to shock the world and win the College World Series. Is that something you would be interested in at 45-1?
I mean, they're capable. So if you use our handy dandy guide that the guys over at College Baseball Insiders put together, the one thing that sticks out about Murray State's profile, very good offensive team when you're looking at it. Second best in the field when you're talking about batting average, OPS, WOBA, weighted runs created plus, which is important. It weighs home field and whatnot, so it gives you an idea of exactly what this team can be offensively.
Tied with UCLA, who if they have to play in this first round for runs per game in the tournament with 10.
Yep.
Too.
So like, if they get hot in a neutral setting, then absolutely, I think anything can happen. I think the thing that worries you, obviously, is I think the worst pitching team in the field, and I think it's not even a question, and you need pitching at some point. To rely on a hot offense over the course of a tournament like this, I feel like, is a little faulty. I think that's why they're the long shot. But if they get red hot, sure. I'm going to say generally no, but I don't think it would be stunning if they got hot and made a run.
I like Cinderella. Yeah. I think this is a pizza money type thing. You
sure.
Just throw a little bit on it, have fun rooting for the Racers. Don't let the Racers get hot.
That's right.
And they're great on the road in neutral site games. 28 wins on road sites or neutral games, most in Division I this year. So let's go Murray State.
They have the offense.
I want to root for the lone Cinderella. Nobody gave him a shot in the Supers. Nobody's given him a shot now. Maybe I need to add Murray State Jello shots to my repertoire. They have the what?
They have the horses.
Yeah.
See, what are you doing? Why are you adding Jello shots for LSU?
Because I want them to break the record.
Which
leads us to another little prompt here from wonderful producer Brian. Says LSU is going to break the 2023 record of 68,888 Jello shots consumed, representing the LSU Tigers.
So
is that something you're interested in?
Yeah. I mean, I'm hearing a lot that they're going to come out here. Here's my thing. This is my question, actually. Do we have a record, or do we know the number of most Jello shots sold in a single tournament? Because that is something I'd be interested in terms of, it seems like there is a very bitter rivalry here with Arkansas and LSU and the fan base and the desire to beat LSU. And so that would mean that I think you're going to get a lot of people buying these freaking shots. So I don't know if LSU is going to break the record. Maybe both of them break the record and you get the most you've ever sold.
I'll have to put my reporter cap back on and see if the owner, Kevin, can give us a little intel.
Dude,
if he has those numbers tracked.
For our audience, really quickly, I saw this live and in person yesterday. So we were talking with Kevin and we were discussing some things. I saw Stormy like asking questions. And like very thoughtful and insightful questions as we were sitting there. I was like, wow, this is watching it at work. Watching the gears turn. Watching all the questions be out. I'm being serious. Those are good questions. I was like 7 in. I wasn't asking good questions. I was out, and you were in. And he told a very wonderful story.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, well, and I think we're going to have him on tomorrow, I believe, on the show. And you're going to hear him around the network as well. Really cool the way that this whole thing got started, too, is just kind of an idea and wanting to represent the teams in Omaha with colors and drinks, and then it's blown up to what it has been over the last 5 years now. I feel stupid, though. We were looking over there earlier. What flavor is the yellow one and the green one? Because, you know, you think Gatorade, you think lemon lime, whatever it is. Just read the sign.
Oh, boy.
What are you, oh boy? Oh, here we go.
Just off camera, Derek Stevens will be joining us here at the top of the hour.
Yes.
And I say oh boy because there's two trays of Jello shots approaching at this point right now.
For the record, for this prompt, though, to finish that out, I would absolutely be interested in it because I feel like LSU fans are going to go all out and they are going to come in here with the mentality to be better than they were before and to make a record that nobody else can beat.
Yeah.
I am here for it.
Have you perfected your Jell-O shot intake?
No. These Jell-O shots, because the cup is a little taller,
so you have to,
makes it slightly more difficult, I think.
You push the bottom, and then you got to suck it in.
You can push the bottom on this?
Yeah.
So I just missed that part of container for me. Because
there's a little, you push in the bottom.
All right. They're going to go down smooth. I'm so excited. Derek Stevens, owner of Circa Resort and Casino, is going to join us next. The man who's making all of this magic happen for us with two trays of Jell-O shots on the studio set next. Don't go anywhere.